and we've got the internet hooked up here. And before we even go into prayer, I just want to thank every one of you ladies for being here and not in D.C. That's just really, really wonderful of you to come to church and worship God. And I appreciate that. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this humble assembly where we can come and worship with one another who are like-minded, study your precious word, worship you in so many different ways in prayer and offering. And Father, we just pray that this morning we fulfill all that you have designed this assembly for and that we glorify Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. All right, what are we going to sing?
Would you all turn with me to number 369? If you see a hymnal nearby, number 369. Anybody else need one? A short one. Master, let me walk with thee.
Here's one.
Here's another. Okay.
Well, good morning. Herman made it back, our answer to our prayers, and we're thankful to have had Kit teach for us the last couple of weeks, an awesome series he did. And Herman just decided to sit it out today. We're going to call Kit back up here in a minute. No, this is I'm just here for the announcement portion of today's class. Don't panic or run away just because I'm standing up here. Let's see. Announcements. We've got chili cook-off coming up, right? On the fifth of February, which is communion. We're going to do chili cook-off for communion, so you won't have to cook that time. So we have the chili cook-off. Just bring money to vote for your favorite chili. Hopefully you'll be voting for mine because it is the reigning champion chili. Yeah, I got the spoon to prove it at home. Okay, and yeah, Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm at the bar of somebody's kitchen, I think. I may get one put together by then. I don't know. Let's see. Prayer request this morning. Of course, Julie.
Well, the last week, 20 of the people in my company were laid off because the New York, new owner, wants $5 million less in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta let go of some people, and it's hard because they're performers as well. And at least two people that I know are my own supervisor and another coworker of mine. So their name is Randy Dorman and Sandy Simmons. So please at least pray for these two. They are believers, but it hurts. You know, despite of how much you do, how good you do, you know, you're just a number.
Yeah.
And this is the world of evil. We all know that. And just try to help us keep them. Keep the spirit up and stay on course with walking alive in the spirit.
And tell us the names again, Randy.
Randy Dorman.
Yeah. And Sandy Simmons. Okay. And the 198 others who got laid off, huh, in the company, in this. 18 others. Only 20, not 200. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And how's Thomas doing?
He's doing well.
And we saw a post about Johnny this morning. He's
his eighth week. He's in a new hospital. He's in a skilled nursing home / therapy hospital. And just pray that he gets strong enough to. He still has a catheter in. It's been 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. He's not walking far on his own, but he is gaining strength.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and worked with him a little bit yesterday. So he meets with the doctor Friday. We'll see if they get to stop the antibiotics. And that's the case. Once he's strong enough to go home.
Yeah. And of course,
confidence and strength to take off on his own in his walker, you know, and that's what he needs to be able to function at home.
Yeah, yeah. Are they doing anything with this liver cancer during this time?
On hold until he gets done with all this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they've been checking the enzymes, and they've been okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he hasn't had too much pain in that area. So hoping that it's just kind of staying dormant. So we'll go back to fighting that once he gets cleared with all this.
So keep Johnny in your prayers and Terry and the rest of the family burning up the freeway going up to Sherman to take care of him and everything else. Yes, sir.
Nick is sick today. That's why Lori and Nick are not here. We think he might have strep throat again. So if you can pray for Nick. And then Nick. His friend Jonathan has been in and out of the hospital. He's a seventh grader, good friends with Nick. They thought he had appendicitis. He was in the hospital for several days. They couldn't find anything. They sent him to a specialist, then they sent him over to Children's Hospital. He's in a lot of pain, but they can't find what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've actually sent him home with nothing other than some painkillers in order to... this is a 12-year-old boy. So please be in prayer for Jonathan. If I could remember his last name, I'd tell you what that is, but I don't remember it. But...
Nick's friend Jonathan. Yeah. Unknown illness. Judith?
Let's keep Eve in prayer. She had an angiogram Friday. good news, and they did not find anything wrong. Her daughter texted me, and she had an EKG, and the EKG showed there was something wrong, and they went in there to the angiogram, and they didn't find anything, so that's good news, but I'm sure she's still weak from all of that. So just keep her in prayer.
Mm-hmm. Vicki, did you have your hand up? No? Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah, my dad is having some kind of problem with his kidney, and so he's got to go for some more tests on this next Friday, so it's just
they don't know what's the deal. There's
they kind of got an idea, but they're not sure, so they got to go in and have to do a biopsy and stuff like that. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, sir.
My cousin Steve's wife, Heidi, got diagnosed with lung cancer a week ago, 5 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they have two twin 15-year-olds. So.
Wow. Heidi. Okay. Yeah. Yes, sir, kid.
My brother-in-law, Chris, and his wife were in a motorcycle accident. The wife is okay, but he's got problems with the leg that he'll need some surgery. My family, on the Greek side, the older brother-in-law had a motorcycle accident, lost part of his brain, and then the sister-in-law, she cut part of her finger and has a collapsed lung, and on and on and on. Her husband cut part of his. So my family, the whole family needs prayer.
and sense enough to stay away from motorcycles, huh? So specifically your brother-in-law in the latest motorcycle mishap. Okay, it's brother-in-law. Any others?
My brother-in-law, Tracy Crane, is going in for a biopsy this week for he has a lump in his throat, and he already is 5 years, in October it was 5 years he'd beat throat cancer, so that it may be back. So he went in for a minor procedure, and they couldn't put the tube down his throat, and it bumped into something, and the doctor's like, he needs to get in immediately. So that's where they're at.
Tracy?
So they're just, just waiting to see what's in store.
Okay. Yes, sir.
My name's Dave. I'm not a regular member here. I'm down from Minnesota visiting a family friend, but her name is Cindy Somerville, and just recently learned she has severe Alzheimer's. She's been committed to a memory unit.
Oh, my goodness.
And sad story, and she'll be 55 in June.
Wow.
I don't think she knew me, but down here for a few days visiting, and so prayer for Cindy.
Cindy.
Okay. Cindy, 55-year-old Alzheimer's patient. Miss.
And, lighten the mood. We have 40 campers signed up for Slam Camp. So if you could please be in prayer for each of them, their families, any obstacles to keep them out of the way. The preparations being made in regard to that special weekend that we have set aside, the first weekend of April.
March 31st, April 1st and 2nd.
When is Slam?
March 31st, April 1st and 2nd.
Okay.
Gigi?
My friend Catherine Park, her mom is doing so good. And she's
making
me help the brother
Glenn,
who's a lazy SOB.
Not that we're
just. Cover that one out. So Catherine's mom, right? Okay. And Jimmy, yeah. Jimmy's remaining on our prayer list until we find out what's gone on with him. Yeah. Well, that's a lot of prayer, Cindy. Yes, sir.
One last prayer. Prayer of Thanksgiving. Special milestone birthday coming up. My dad on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And what is that?
It's going to be 50.
Plus 30 more.
When is that?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Oh, Jim. Happy birthday, man.
I knew you could do it.
And many more. All right. Jose, any others? Okay, all the announcements in. Got Super Bowl chili cook-off. Let's see. And Slam Camp coming. And anything else happening? Chris is going to be teaching for us next week while Herman takes his and Judith take a yet another vacation. He's trying to catch up for those 25 years he never took a vacation, I think. We'll be in prayer for their safety and their travels through the Holy Land, which is always a dangerous situation, right? Yeah. So, pray for Chris and his preparation for next week, and please join us. He's got a great class coming together, and we'll all be blessed to hear from him, I'm sure. So come back next week, even though Herman will be on his lavish vacation yet again. Yeah. Right. All prayers and requests in. Please keep these prayers in mind. If you haven't got on the mail list for our prayer list, just drop an email to SDBC Prayers, right?
Prayers
at SDBC, and you can get that lovely PDF format, which is printable and easy to use. So and we'll keep you busy the rest of the week, I guarantee you. So get that printed out and keep your fellow believers in mind in your prayers. We move now into the family matter for our local assembly, and that's the offertory. We aren't interested in simply collecting money. We're interested in furthering God's plan and the power of His Spirit. So we're told that we're not to give begrudgingly or of necessity, that God loveth a cheerful giver. And if you are a believer in Christ and want to further the effort of spreading that word, then here's your opportunity. And we have several missionaries we support, as well as just the efforts here with the tape department and the children's department. A little tiny room of people like this to have global impact is an amazing thing, to think that God the Holy Spirit can do so much with so little. So now is your opportunity to support that. Let's approach the throne of grace with a word of prayer before the offertory. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful to come before your throne of grace. We know that each and every prayer consideration that we think of, you've already addressed it and already seen it coming. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to cast those worries and problems upon you, Heavenly Father. We know that you hold all these individuals in your hand, as you do each of us. We pray, Heavenly Father, your Spirit would motivate us to pray for these individuals and keep each other in mind. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the this opportunity to worship you in giving. We pray that each and every offering would be used by your Spirit to spread your word and glorify our Lord, for it's in His precious name that we pray, sir. Amen.
His word shall not fail you, he promised.
it when I listen to it and play it.
I guess it's going to be slow.
Okay, first of all, Patty, introduce your cousin friend for us, please.
Cousin-in-law.
Hi, I'm Patty. I don't know if y'all remember me or not, but this is my cousin Dave, actually my cousin's husband, Dave. And he's down from Minnesota, from the Alexandria area, as he said, to visit a friend that is not in good shape.
Well, we're happy to have you here this morning. If we gave flowers for those who come the furthest, you'd get the flower.
We have another Minnesotan, or used to be. I guess you call him. What do you call him? Minnesota?
Yeah, Minnesota.
Jerry's from Minnesota.
That's a fourth leg? Fourth leg? Yeah, I know. Yeah. Nice area.
All right. Next.
Harmon, in the prayers, I forgot to mention the prayer of Thanksgiving. Millions of husbands had their prayers answered yesterday as they got a Saturday of peace and quiet.
Oh, no! You're going to get me in trouble. A lot of you remember a new member just but immediately hit with all kinds of disasters. But Jimmy went into the hospital. Let's see, it would have been Friday week ago to ICU. And he was almost, he'd almost died, and he'd crawled out on the driveway in front of his house. And about that time, the ambulance came and took him to the hospital. And he was in ICU until, let's see, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And Wednesday they discharged him. And Jimmy is under just unbelievable things. He's infected with cancer that is deadly. His wife said, well, you got cancer, I'm leaving. She divorced him. She's moving away. It just seems like one thing has happened to Jimmy after another. Please keep Jimmy in your prayers. And the God will give him the strength and the wisdom to make it through all that he's got to go through right now. So please be in prayer for Jimmy. Let's see, tomorrow morning, Judith and I leave for Israel. We didn't really plan two things in January. A couple of years ago, Judith planned our vacation last week, or 2 weeks ago now, at a great price. So we had to go thinking, not much happens in January. And then we ran into this man, James Sutty-Lancy, as a ministry of taking pastors to Israel. And I don't know if you're familiar with the things, but most trips to Israel range from anywhere from $5,000 to $8,000, depending on whom you go with and different things like that. But five is the least that I've ever seen, out to $8,000, fruit and bomb. Trey has a trip that he charges $7,500. We're going to go and spend the entire time under $2,000 from DFW to New York to Tel Aviv, the whole time there, room and board taken care of, travel taken care of, and then getting back Tel Aviv, New York, back to Dallas. And so I just could not take that kind of a trip with him. So please be in prayer for our safety. And it is a contentious ground, but I'm really looking forward to it. Yes?
While our pastor was on vacation, he turned older also this month. Over around the 12th.
You don't like me, do you?
Did you check out where you're going to be sleeping for this cheap money?
Oh. Oh,
we might be in a tent somewhere.
Yes.
Are you taking medication or going over there?
Just my normal. Oh, no, I won't do that. I do have a lot of trouble sleeping on a plane, though. But we got to wake up at 4:30 tomorrow morning. And so I'm hoping that by 9 o'clock tomorrow night, I'll be ready to doze off to sleep on the plane. And so, but please be in prayer for our travel. One of this man's objectives, just to let you know, I never thought I'd even go to Israel. This is my second time now. But his objective is to get pastors to come back and lead people to Israel. And I have no idea if that's going to happen. But if it does, I'll guarantee you, if you've ever wanted to go, I'm going to make it as least expensive as I possibly can. And a lot of these guys make money for themselves and different things. I'm not going to be doing that if we do go from here and John Hintz's church and Jody Brown's church. And so just I don't know if that's going to work out that way. But anyway, that's this pastor's objective in taking pastors over at such a low price. Okay, let's begin our study this morning. Word of prayer. And what we're going to be studying is entitled, 1 Minute After the Rapture. And we're not going to concentrate on the judgment seat of Christ. Just 1 minute after the rapture. And this is given by Dr. J.B. Hixon, H-I-X-S-O-N. Got his THM at Dallas Seminary and his PhD from Baptist Biblical Seminary. And he's a well-known writer, many, many different books, probably about 20-something books. And he spoke at the pastor's or the free trip conference. And I was thinking, what would I teach? We just got today. Kit taught the last 2 Sundays. I'm very thankful for that. Chris Daig next Sunday. I'm very thankful. But I didn't want to come in and just do Colossians and then have another week before we do it again. When we do resume Colossians, it'll be right now a year straight. I have no plans of being gone anymore this year. Now, I'm sure something will happen, but anyway. But when I was listening to this man at the pre-trib conference, I thought this would be great for what's a one-shot for our assembly. And so this is taken really from J.B. Hixon, H-I-X-S-O-N, 1 minute after the rapture. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer. Test yourself to see if you're trusting the Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is so wonderful to study your word. Past history, the life, death on the cross, resurrection of our Savior, his ascension to the right hand of God. So many wonderful truths that involve our lives in the church age. And then, Heavenly Father, you've told us of the future things that are yet to occur. So, Father, we pray now your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and to understand, have an effect in our lives as we minister and tell others of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, what he did, he took two groups. Those who will be caught up, biblical word, with Christ. You don't like the word rapture. There are a lot of biblical words for being caught up. And that's what the rapture is. Those who will be caught up, what we will experience. And then those who are left behind, what they will experience. And what we're going to do is we're just going to go through and list them. He has 7 things, those who are caught up, what they will experience. 10 things, those who are left behind, what they will experience. So let's just go through these and get an understanding of what is yet to occur in history. First of all, 1, a long-awaited return. A long-awaited return. Look at John chapter 14, verse 3. This is a Bible church, and you're going to need your Bibles. John 14. You recall, this is the setting of Jesus Christ in the upper room. And in John 14, he addresses the disciples and says, Let not your heart be troubled. In other words, stop being troubled. They're troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now here's where it begins. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, and it's the first time since I go, and since I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, this is one of the first really wonderful things that Jesus Christ declared about the coming of Christ. Now, we've already studied here two comings of Christ, trying to make a distinction. The first coming, he doesn't come to earth. He comes in the air. The sound, the trumpet sounds, the shout, come, and all those on earth, born-again believers deceased, and born-again believers on earth are taken up, and we meet him in the air. Then, if we want to say second, the second coming, it is his second coming, first coming is when he was here and died on the cross, but the next time he will come to earth, and there will be the battle of Armageddon, and the destruction of all the unbelievers and the beginning of the millennial kingdom. So this is the coming of the Lord for the church. He will come and meet us in the air and call us home. So it is a long awaited, and I like it that Hickson said, return. Why return? I've never been to heaven. Yes, you have. Philippians makes it very clear, we are born from above. You are citizens of heaven. And so we return to heaven. Now look at another little book, Titus. Titus chapter 2. Now if you know where Paul's writings are, it's one of the last letters by the Apostle Paul after 1 and 2 Timothy. You'll come to Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. And people, we are beckoned to look for Him. This could be the day. This could be the day. This could be the day when He calls us home. And it could be today. So this is something that is a blessed hope, confidence that we have in Jesus Christ. Now look at Luke, Matthew, Mark, Dr. Luke, chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 11. Luke 19, verse 11. And while they were listening to these things, he went on to tell a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem, and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. But it didn't appear immediately. It is waiting for the calling home of the church, and then the tribulational period. And we call it 7 years of tribulation. I hope I've taught you enough to know it's the last 7 years promised to Israel. They will be days of tribulation and great tribulation. But why seven? Because they are the last 7 years promised to Israel. Israel was promised 490 years. They fulfilled 483 years, and when they crucified, rejected their Messiah, crucified him, they had 7 years left. That 7 years will be the tribulation. And so, while they were looking for the kingdom, it is put off for the church and then the coming of the Lord. And finally, Acts. Acts chapter 1. If I were talking to a man that's just going into the ministry, and if he were to ask, what should I teach? I would highly recommend what I didn't do, and that's teach the book of Acts. It is so important. There's not a whole lot. Dr. Dwight Pentecost taught us there's not that much doctrine in the book of Acts, but it puts into history all the books of the New Testament. And it is an excellent book for just seeing the plan of God for the beginning of the church age. So Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. So when they had come together, that is the disciples, they were asking him, Jesus Christ, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? This is what they looked for. They had no knowledge of a church age. The next thing that was to happen was to be the kingdom of Israel, which we know as the millennial period. So that's what they were looking for. All right? Verse 7. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority. So the things that are going to occur are by the authority of the Lord. So first of all, a long-awaited return. Secondly, and I love this one, a timely rescue. A timely rescue. We will all experience when the rapture occurs a timely rescue. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1. We studied this when we studied the book of Thessalonians, but let's read it now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. You recall one of the reasons we studied 1 and 2 Thessalonians is because it's so eschatologically future-oriented as to events. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. For God has not destined us for wrath, the church, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And actually here it should be translated deliverance. Deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're rescued from the wrath of God, but also from the wrath of Satan. Look at Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Verse 12. Revelation 12, verse 12. For this, by the way, Revelation 12 is pivotal. It talks about the birth of Jesus Christ, how Satan set up against Israel to prevent the birth of Christ, and how He is born, and all that Satan plans to do. And then you move to verse 12. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. So the tribulation is going to be a period of the great wrath of Satan. Also look at verse 17 in the same chapter. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, Israel, and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So first of all, a long-awaited return. Secondly, a timely rescue. And thirdly, a physical renewal. A physical renewal. Now, in fact, Judith and I were talking about this morning. It is totally impossible. Impossible for Mackenzie Wise to understand old age. It is impossible. In fact, it's impossible for most of you here. But when you get as old as James and Jim and me, when you get old, it becomes a reality. It becomes a reality. So here we have a physical renewal. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Another thing I hope you're seeing is by going to all these different... The rapture, things about the taking up of the church, all through the Bible, all through the New Testament. Not in the Old Testament, because they didn't know anything about it. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's read verse 50 through 53. First Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, believers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable, that's our physical bodies, put on the imperishable, resurrected body. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. By sleeping means die physically on earth. But we shall all be changed. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will rise imperishable, and shall be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. So our body will be changed into a resurrected body. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2. For indeed, in this house we groan. As you get older, you groan. You hear groans that you never heard before. But you'll start hearing them. Let me warn you, Mackenzie. Your day's coming. You'll hear groans. All right. And indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Finally, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 23. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our physical bodies. So we live our life in this body, but we wait for the resurrection and a new body. All right, fourth, a corresponding resurrection. What does that mean? A corresponding resurrection. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So we have a corporate resurrection in Christ. And then number five is one we look forward to, a joyful reunion. A joyful reunion. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 and 14. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 and 14. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, those who died, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope, unbelievers. For if we believe that Jesus died, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. So, you've died. It's really interesting. It's difficult for people to understand. I got a card. My birthday. Well, I know 75 is old, but it beats the alternative. Now, I'm not going to do this, but I wanted to pick up the phone and call them. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. For me to live is Christ and die is gain. But I understood what the card was saying. But people, we got to understand, death is not bad for a believer. It's bad for us that are left behind, especially if it's a young person, our spouses, our parents. But if we think about it from the divine perspective, death is a wonderful thing to be face to face with the Lord. And then John 17. The Gospel of John 17, and I hope when I say those words that all of you immediately think, ah, that's the Lord's Prayer. That's the Lord's Prayer, that chapter. And in verse 24 of the Lord's Prayer, the Lord says in his prayer to the Father, Father, I desire, listen to this, this is the desire of Jesus Christ. I desire that they also whom thou hast given to me. He's given to him all believers of the church age. Be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou didst love me before the foundations of the world. That's his desire, that we be with him. People, when you really love someone, you desire to be with them. You desire that they enjoy things that you enjoy. Go with you where you go. Jesus Christ talking to God the Father, this is my desire. All believers that you've given to me, and he gave to him all the believers of the church age, will be with me for all eternity. Six, a personal reward. A personal reward. Revelation 22:12. Revelation 22:12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. In other words, what you have done in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, a personal reward. Also, let me just give you the other passages. He lists Matthew 6:20. Let's do a look at Colossians 3. That's coming up in our study. Colossians 3. And believe it or not, we should be there before the end of 2017. Don't laugh. That's not nice. All right. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Colossians 3, 23. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So, and by the way, the reward is based not on what just we do, but what you do in the filling of the Spirit. Unbelievers do good deeds. Believers do good deeds in the energy of the flesh. God is never interested what we do in the flesh. That's why you're saved by faith alone. It is by what we do in the filling of the Holy Spirit. And then also 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. Now, 7. A glorious rejoicing. A glorious rejoicing. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, which we've read, but let's read it again. Titus chapter 2. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Go back just a few pages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. And I love verse 18. I'll tell you why. Look at it. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, we study the rapture, gathering up to the Lord. Comfort one. What do? We divide with it. Well, wait a minute. Are you pre-trib? Then all you pre-trib is over here. Are you mid-tribbers? All y'all over here. All you post-trib? All over here. We've used it to divide. Don't ever do that. You meet somebody that is a mid-trib, well, you're all wrong. Just, okay, you believe in the tribulation, you believe the Lord's going to call us all home, we can sit down and have a Coke on that. See, or tea if you don't like Coke. But we can rejoice on that. But that is the beauty. Okay, seven things that the believer in Jesus Christ will experience at the rapture. A long-awaited return, a timely rescue, a physical reward, a corresponding resurrection, a joyful reunion, a personal reward, a glorious rejoicing. Now, something that we've not done in our studies. We've studied the rapture, taking home of the church? What about those that are left behind? What about those who have not believed in Jesus Christ the second this occurs? What about them? Okay, he lists 10. 1. Global confusion. And before we even look, I think about it. I don't know how many Christians there are in the world. Have no idea how many are truly born-again believers. But there's got to be enough that would be an impact. I remember in seminary, we used to get together as seminary students, and we just had a ball thinking of all the awkward conditions of when the rapture occurs. And one of the funniest ones, we hope it's at some big sporting event where 200,000 people are leaving some big stadium and believers are at every exit driving, and they're taken out and leaving the cars all sitting there. And it's just a reality. This is going to happen. The rapture is going to happen, and it's going to be global confusion. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 33. 1 Corinthians 14, 33. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now, remember, as we go through this, these 10 things, what happens when the rapture occurs? It's the removal of the restrainer. The restrainer is inside of you, inside of every believer. You remove the church. You remove the restrainer. You remove the presence, the physical presence of God and His impact from the earth. So there's going to be global confusion. Now, this can be known and is known by Old Testament. Look at Zechariah 12. Zechariah 12. Where in the world is Zechariah? Well, one, that's why you have a table of content. But if you don't like to look at the table of content, find Matthew. Then you go backwards from Matthew and three books from Matthew, back of Matthew, you come to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah 12, verse 4. Zechariah 12, 4. In that day, declares the Lord, I will strike every horse with bewilderment and his rider with madness, but I will watch over the house of Judah while I strike every horse of the people with blindness. Rapture of the church. 2. First of all, global confusion. And then 2 is also insightful. A false expectation. The Antichrist and the world, political leaders, they've got to come up with some kind of explanation. Body snatchers, whatever. They've got to come up with all this kind of stuff. There's going to be false expectation. Look at the Gospel of John 8. The Gospel of John 8. And let's look in chapter 8. At verse 44. You are not of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of you, and you are of your father the devil. You want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whatever he speaks, a lie. He speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So there's going to be false expectation because Satan will be in control. 3, an unprecedented deception. There's deception that goes on in the church age. There's deception that's gone on throughout all history. Age of Israel, age of the Gentiles, age of Israel, time of Christ, church age, but during the tribulation, there will be unexpected deception. Matthew 24, which we have studied. Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus Christ teaching of the rapture, the tribulation, and his return. Matthew 24, verse 11. And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. People, I try to say it as often as it fits in. It is so important who you choose to listen to teaching the Word of God. Now, it's not about me. It's about you. You open your ears to people teaching the Word of God on the TV, radio, or in person. You've got to be so careful. It amazes me. And I mean, it amazes me how a Christian, I want the best cancer doctor. I want the best electrician. I want the best mechanic. And then they go and sit under the worst teaching of the Bible, if any teaching at all, you can imagine. It is so important whom you choose to listen to. Does that man, what is that man's view of the Bible? Does he study the Bible? Does he teach the Bible? Does he present the Bible? So there is unbelievable deception. And also in Matthew 24, look at verse 24. Matthew 24, verse 24. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders. That's what's going to fool people. Well, they do signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect, those who believe in Christ. One more passage. 2 Thessalonians 2. Second Thessalonians 2, 9 and 10. Verse 9. That the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. And people, think of what the condition is of the people when the rapture occurs. What's going on? We need help here. And so there'll be false signs. This makes me feel better. Deceptive policies. So verse 9, that is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Love of the truth, love of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there's going to be unbelievable, unprecedented deception. For, first of all, global confusion. Secondly, a false expectation. Three, unprecedented deception. And four, intense lamentation. Intense lamentation. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, 23 and 24. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, this takes in a lot of people. Look at verse 21, or verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? We did all these wonderful things for you. And then the Lord, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is the false, the lamentation that is about to occur. Chapter 25 of Matthew. Matthew 25, again, the declaration by Christ dealing with the rapture, the tribulation, and the second coming. Matthew 25 11 and 12. And later, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered and said to them, truly I say to you, I do not know you. People, it is not a matter that you and I know him. Does he know you? That's the great issue. And that's taught in Galatians. A lot of you might say, oh, well, you know, I know the president. And the president walks by and doesn't even acknowledge you. He doesn't know you. You met him one day, maybe. It's a matter of, does the Lord know you? And the Lord knows only those who have chosen him as their Savior, who believe in him as their Savior. That's who he knows. This is a great issue. It's not a matter of whom we know. It's a matter of, does he know you? This becomes the great issue. So, next, there is going to be let's look at Matthew, intense lamentation. Matthew 25, 11 and 12, that's what we just read. Now let's go to point five. A new dispensation. Sorry, people who don't believe in dispensationalism, but anyway. I love people. I don't even use the word. I'll say, now let me ask you, do you see a difference between when the Gentiles from Abraham, from Adam to Abraham, and the time frame from Abraham to Christ? Oh, yeah, yeah. You're a dispensation. No, I'm not. I hate that word. Okay, find another word. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about a word, but it deals with segments of time in history of God's ruling. So there's a new dispensation. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 10. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things upon the earth in him. And then Romans chapter 11. Let's go back to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Verse 25. For I do not want you, brethren, believers, to be uninformed of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come. Fullness of the Gentiles, the end of the tribulation is the fullness of the Gentiles. Okay, and now six. First of all, a global confusion, a false expectation, an unprecedented deception, an intense lamentation, a new dispensation, and now point six is frightening. A withdrawal protection. A withdrawal of protection. Daniel chapter 9. That's why we spend time in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9:27. And he will make a firm covenant. This is the dictator of the revived Roman Empire, beginning of the tribulation. He will make a firm covenant with many. These are the many Jews who decided to stay in Jerusalem and not get out for 1 week. That's 7 years. But in the middle of the week, 3.5 years, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed and poured out on the one who makes desolate. So a withdrawal of protection. Point seven. Evil revelation. Evil revelation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Yes? of the previous one? A withdrawal of protection, Daniel 9:27. Daniel 9, verse 27. Then point 7, a with evil revelation, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3, let no one in any way deceive you. How are you not deceived? By a study of the Word of God daily in your life. This is why, again, it's so important who you listen to, teaching the Word of God. God has set Christ, the head of the church, set up the local church, set up pastor teachers, gave them the gift. Now, whether or not they use the gift is entirely between them and the Lord. But it's up to you whom you choose to listen to. Okay? 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. So an evil revelation. Okay, good things will happen though. Point 8, a worldwide conversion. A worldwide conversion, crisis evangelism. Revelation 7, good things are going to happen. Revelation 7, verse 4. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. Now look at verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches, were in their hands. And finally, Matthew 24, words of our Lord, describing this time frame. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all nations, and to them the end shall come. So the gospel is going to be presented unbelievably. People are going to want it. And that's what I try to explain to you. We live in a terrible time in American history. Our judicial system has taken God out and the Bible. Our educational system is taking God out and the Bible. And for all practical purposes, many churches have. But there are people that you will come in contact with in your life who want to know the truth. You don't know who they are. But you'll be in a store, a trip, shopping, talking, what at work, school. Start talking to someone. Wait a minute. What is this you're saying? They want to know it. You wanted to. They're going to be, you may witness to 20 people, but it's that one who responds. There's your joy, because there will be those who want to know the truth. So there'll be a worldwide conversion. Point 9, he calls a geopolitical reorganization. A geopolitical reorganization. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And I wish I had time to develop this one. Daniel 2. 41 through 44. Daniel 2, 41 through 44. And in that you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay. This is Nebuchadnezzar's statue. And partly of iron. It will be divided. It will be a divided kingdom. But it will have in the toughness of iron, inasmuch as you saw the iron mixed with common clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron, partly of pottery, and so some of the kingdom, that's in the in the tribulation, the revived Roman Empire, so the kingdom will be strong and part of it will be brittle. And in that you saw the iron mixed with common clay. They will combine with one another. This is all future tense, dealing with the tribulation, in the seed of men. But they will not adhere to one another, even as iron does not combine with pottery. Verse 44. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, Jerusalem. That kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it in itself will endure forever, the kingdom of God in Jerusalem. And then finally 10, so let's go through them now. 1, a global confusion, a false expectation, unprecedented deception, intense lamentation, a new dispensation, a withdrawal of protection, an evil revelation, a worldwide conversion, a geopolitical reorganization, and finally, a fearful expectation. A fearful expectation. While you're in Daniel, look at Daniel 2:34. Daniel 2:34. You continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the statue, as Jesus Christ, on the feet of iron and clay, and crushed that empire. Let's go to the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 15. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with an iron rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. Now, I was taken a little bit that, for an example, under the, the withdrawal of protection, that he didn't talk about the withdrawal of the Holy Spirit and the removal of the Holy Spirit, the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit. I was a little taken that he didn't do that. But let's close with one that also affects us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm sorry, it's one that I like to remind you of. Whenever you think of the rapture, whenever you think of meeting the Lord in the air, I want you to remember the next event that occurs. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of you will stand there. Not with your husband, not with your wife, not with your mom, not with your dad, not with the preacher. You will stand and look the judge eyeball to eyeball and have your life evaluated by Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, one verse. And we must. See that word must? This is set by God, people. It is going to happen. You are going to be standing there. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body while on earth, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. How are you going to define good or bad? Unbelievers do good things. Believers out of fellowship do good things from the human standpoint. Good or bad deals from God's perspective. Good refers to only those things done in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I feel sorry for Christians that don't know how to be filled with the Spirit. And few of them do because few pastors know. How am I... The most important question for the unbeliever, how am I saved? For by grace through faith. faith alone and Christ alone. How am I filled with the Spirit? Be filled with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Be led of the Spirit. See? Keep in step with the Spirit. All these kind of commands. How do we do that? As you received Him, walk by grace through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Faith in the Holy Spirit for spirituality. So the good and bad determines, did not determine about what you and I do. That's going to be a lot of those people who's going to say, well, look at all that I did for you. Wait, Lord, let me just show you my checkbook. I just happened to have brought my balance sheet of every day of my life, every year of my life, and I want to show you how much money I get. And I want you to compare this with some of those lousy poor believers in our church. I pay for the stained glass windows. I pay for this. I pay for that. And you tell me I've done nothing good? Did it in the flesh. Did it in the flesh. You can pull out a dollar in the power of the Holy Spirit, and God will use it. That's what the great issue is. It's not what you and I do. It's in whose power we do it. Do it in His power or the power of the flesh. God does not accept anything from the power of the flesh. So when you stand before Him, you want Him to be able to say, I did it in the power of my Spirit, whom I sent to you, good and faithful servant. That's what you want. Those are the ones that He's going to reward. But just remember, every one of us will stand at the judgment seat of Christ after the rapture. Have your life evaluated. Not good, bad, how much you did and all that. In His power you did it. You did it in the power of the Spirit, energy of the flesh. Okay? All right, next Sunday, Chris Dagg will be teaching, and then we'll be back to Colossians for the duration of 2017. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. By the way, let me just point out, you can get on the internet and look up J.B. Hixson, H-I-X-S-O-N, and he has a list of wonderful books dealing with eschatology, dealing with the church, dealing with a lot of different things. Dr. J.B. Hixson, and you'll see a good number of good books. He's a good man, sound man. He's in our thinking. So let's close now in a word of prayer. And remember, please be in prayer for Judith and I as we travel through Israel. Heavenly Father, first of all, Father, we let our request be made known to you as a public assembly here. We didn't take the time to pray for each one of these as they were given. But in our own time, Father, we pray for each one of these. Pray that you will understand them and that you will heed our prayer and the desire of our prayer, the intent of our prayer. And Father, we thank you now for our study in the Word of God. Our life is reality, and so is our departure from this earth reality. It could happen today. We will be taken home and meet the Lord in the air. So, Father, we pray that you'll take these things we've seen, use it to encourage us, to witness to others, and to live in that confidence of hope that we have with this blessed day. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.